listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 5th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here, but tonight especially, we have a special guest.
Absolutely, and always glad to have you. Always so happy to see everybody in our live chat. Again, we always appreciate the contributions you make, and we really love that back and forth. And, of course, we always appreciate those that take the time out of their week to catch up with us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, I am excited for tonight's broadcast, but first, we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, we are very excited to have a guest with us. Our topic is going to be not allowing fear to hold you back. And we have a very special up-and-comer here. Happy to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly.
Thanks, son. And hello to everybody. It's good to be back with you again. And I wanted to take a few minutes and come back on the program in the light of, you know, world events and just try to offer some encouragement and some perspective and some groundedness to things going on in the world. And because I know a lot of people are afraid, you know, there never seems to be an end to the things to worry about. So, and I'm worried about my eggs, where they're going to come from, you know. That's just a joke, sort of. Any rate, I want to, again, add some perspective and groundedness to things. So let's get into this. Things, and of course, the whole point is to not let fear hold you back. So there are things going on in the U.S. now that have a lot of people worried and afraid. You know, there's tariffs and there's deportations and there's egg prices and there's pardoning of numerous criminals and just all kinds of things that are going on that have got people worried. And people say that what we're dealing with now is unprecedented, which may be true. But let's talk about that for a minute, about unprecedented. Think back 1914 when World War I started. The times, they were unprecedented, but we lived through it. People did. Back in the 1930s leading up to World War II, the times were unprecedented. And by the way, I'm not suggesting anything about World War III. I'm just saying that times were unprecedented, but we got through it. In 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis was certainly unprecedented, you know, the height of the Cold War. And I remember, you know, in school in the 60s, you know, we were practicing hiding under our desks in case a nuclear bomb was dropped. That was in Salt Lake City, where I grew up halfway. You know, and another thing we did, we They wanted us to bring in an empty chlorine jug, fill it with water, put a drop of chlorine in it, and we stored and went down to the tunnels underneath the school. And it was an elementary school, by the way, and stored those just in case we had to go down there and survive for some time. You know, that was unprecedented. And then in 1963, when JFK was assassinated, it was certainly, you know, unprecedented in recent memory anyway. I know other presidents were assassinated, but that was certainly a big thing. And then, you know, during the 60s, we had the civil rights movement, and Martin Luther King was assassinated, and Robert King was assassinated. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on that had a lot of people afraid. You know, now we get into the 70s. 1973 to 74 was the gas shortages. They were unprecedented. And also in 1974, President Nixon resigned amid the Watergate scandal. The times were unprecedented. And, of course, we all remember September 11th, 2001, certainly unprecedented. And the list just goes on and on. But the deal is, as we live through it, now you might say, well, not everybody lived through it. That may be true, but that's not the point. You and I did, and most people did. We lived through it. We got through it. So despite the current issues that we may be facing, we'll get through it, even if they're unprecedented. We have to have that hope. We have to have that positive outlook. We need to refuse to live in fear. And, you know, that's fear and confusion are two of the biggest things that the powers that be use to get people, so to speak. Fear and confusion, they're two weapons that are used from UFOs to political parties. I mean, if you think about paranormal investigations, you know, that's one thing that I learned after many years of doing that you know what? This is all about fear and confusion. If you're not afraid, you're confused. And if you're not confused, you're afraid. Mostly I was confused because things just didn't make sense. You know, you might get some evidence of some paranormal issue that leads you to one direction, and you can make some assumptions and draw some conclusions, and then something else happens that's very similar that would lead you into a completely different direction and negate the previous conclusion and assumptions. It's fear and confusion. Same thing happens with politics. Same thing happens with the world. Fear and confusion. Because if you've got people afraid and confused, then they don't have time to think. I mean, I grew up and was raised a Jehovah's Witness, and that was the big thing. Don't go to school. You know, I'm talking about higher education. Don't do that. They don't want you to think. You know, we were busy, you know, five meetings a week throughout the week, and all this personal study and going out and knocking on doors and all that stuff. We were so busy, we didn't have time to think. It's essentially fear and confusion. You need to do this, because if you don't, you're not going to survive Armageddon. That was the whole spiel, which was all baloney. It's not real. And so people didn't have time to think. And that's what's going on in the world. There's so much fear and confusion that you don't have time to think. All you have time to do is worry and be afraid and be confused and not know what to do and on and on. You know, living in fear takes a huge emotional toll. And this life is not the only one. And in that, I find hope, because this is a chapter that we're all living. We're learning, we're trying to evolve and grow, and that's what we should be doing. And so we can't allow the fears and the confusion and all the unprecedented stuff going on to dissuade us from our objective. And our objective should be leaving the woodpile higher than we found it. Our objective should be helping other people, paying it forward. You've heard me talk about that many, many, many times, paying it forward, helping people, lightening the load. You know, one of the best things you can do, I've said this many times too, the best things you can do for other people is give them an encouraging word. Say hi and do it cheerfully. And if they have some little victory, pat them on the back, so to speak. You know, rejoice with them, if you will. You know, be happy for them and with them and encourage them. And just look for opportunities to say an encouraging word. Now, I've got some other things I'm going to go over, too. So if you have any questions or any points you want to say in the chat room, just put it in the chat room. And then I'll also pause here for a moment to get any feedback or thoughts from Dr. Michael and Vicki.
Well, I think one thing that comes to mind as you're talking, because I totally agree with you, is for the last 50 years, I would say, we haven't had much in the way of such confusion and fear.
Yeah.
And technology. Exactly. And I think that what is where we can be really helpful is to give more skills to young people. And that's kind of what we're all about here, is educating each other about critical thinking. Mm-hmm. Even if it's something like how to make biscuits from scratch, you know.
You buy a muzzle tube.
Those small little things that aren't commonplace these days, especially young people. And I mean young people under 40, under 35. You know, it's because we really haven't had any big social discord in North America. And again, we have to qualify that North Americans have been living a pretty good life, really, mm-hmm. for the last 50 years. So this is all new, and when to a lot of folks, but like you, Dr. Kelly, I mean, when I started school, we were ducking under desks for fear of nuclear blasts coming over from Russia, you know? And so every generation has its thing, minus the last couple of generations. So I think that's where it amplifies for a lot of folks, you know, when they haven't had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
You know, I think, you know, I have long-time listeners and everybody here knows that I have a very big fascination with history. And I was doing a dive into Frankish history. They were talking about some of the kings and queens of the Franks who kind of came in the what we would call dark ages that really weren't dark. But they came up after the Roman Empire. They founded essentially what is the countries of France and Germany today. But listening to their stories, it is remarkable how just different things were in the terms of what was their daily life like, you know, and the world that these people were born into. You know, we live in a paradise, an absolute utopia compared to anything these people would have ever experienced. And it's that relativity that is so important, I think. You know, Wendy and Chad had mentioned, you know, her son, I believe, talking about maybe not wanting to bring kids into this world. And she pointed out that there have always been things going on, just like you were saying. And very true. Very true. And, you know, Dr. Rick is in there, glad to see it too, talking about how times of change are going on and that fear can you know, the change heightens that sense of fear. I absolutely agree. But I think with history, it's a bit of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you do see the patterns, you know, that kind of come around. You know, history doesn't always repeat itself, but it rhymes. But you also have context. You know, we've been in worse places, and not just during the Cold War. You know, we as a species have come a long way, and you can take heart in realizing where we are compared to where we were and how much we've advanced, not just in technology, but in morality. You know, people, we're just less violent today. And I know it seems odd because of the barrage you get of news stories, videos on social media and things like that. But as a whole, violent deaths are way down. We are less violent today. I know it's a shocking thing to say, real a hot take, but that's my take.
Good points. Good points. All right, and so that's the idea, you know, to look at the positive things that we have going on for us. And it's few crimes down. I mean, it's just everything's down compared to what it's been over humanity's evolution. So let's talk about some things. And Dr. Vicki, you mentioned critical thinking skills, and I wanted to bring that up because that is also what I'm talking about, using our critical thinking skills to get some perspective, to keep our feet on the ground and to look at things properly and maturely and with an evolved mind. So here are some things that you might consider to help negate any worry and fear that you might be experiencing. One thing is, don't watch the news or limit it. You know, decide what information you will allow in and the information you won't allow in. And it doesn't mean you need to be oblivious to what's happening. You just shouldn't gorge yourself on it. Any important news will find its way to you. And I do this. I stopped months and months and months and months ago, and I've had periods where I don't do it, and then I fall back into it, and then I get out of it again, and I'm currently out of it and plan on staying out of it. Because, you know, first of all, it's difficult to really know what you can believe and what you can't believe. And so you've got to use your critical thinking skills. And be careful of social media. I mean, yeah, it might be fun to scroll through those reels and short clips and so forth, and the stuff on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all of them, you know, but be careful of social media, because there is a lot of crap on there. There's a lot of just flat out falsehoods on there. I see it myself, you know, and one of those things that floats around on those social media is conspiracy theories. You know, there's a myriad of conspiracy theories floating around. They're more harmful than anything. Stick to facts. Avoid sensationalism. You know, there's just so many. I mean, the flat earthers and the we didn't go to the moon people and all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's even more, and they're everywhere. And, you know, and then there's some who are making predictions and all kinds of stuff. Just be careful of it. Use your brain. Use your mind. Choose what you allow into it. Because you know what the old GIGO principle, right? G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. So don't let garbage in. Focus on your own life, your own goals, your own objectives. And this includes your family and friends. Make a deliberate decision to enjoy your life and family. Don't let the world or life or anyone else rob you of your joy. Happiness is where you see it. And if you look, you'll see it. Also, hardship and negativity and worry and fear is also where you see it. You can go out and look and for anything and find it. Let's focus on happiness. Focus on building others up and doing what I said earlier, paying it forward and helping people. You know, make that deliberate decision. Don't let the negative world events hold you back. Because if you do, you're only hurting yourself. And if you've been away from your studies at IMHS and you're a student and you want to return, contact me for assistance. You know, that's one thing I've noticed. And I'll be honest about that. Always am. You know, since things have kind of taken a tumble here in recent year, actually, you know, students have slowed down. You know, they're not studying. They're losing sight. They're getting distracted. And fear and worry will distract you, for sure. But they're losing sight of their own goals and objectives. You know, the curriculum that we have at IMHS and TFU, it's life-changing. I mean, there's so many people out there who have relationship problems, who have boundary issues, and who don't know how to think critically. People who don't know, have no self-esteem. I read about students all the time who have had breakthroughs in self-esteem, self-concept, because the way they were raised, they were perhaps, you know, raised in a harsh home or even abusive homes, and they basically grow up with no self-esteem. Most people grow up with very limited self-esteem. I did, you know, we just do. And there's no reason for that. And so the curriculum teaches students how to think properly in a healthy way, how to set healthy boundaries, how to solve problems, how to set goals. There's all kinds of deep nuggets that will change lives. And so if you're a student that's been away from your studies for a while, I really encourage you to get back into it. And if you don't know how, don't know where you left off, whatever, all you have to do is contact me. You know, my email address is there on the website. You can call me, too. I answer the phone. I talk to you, and I'll help you. All right, so that's that. Also, just to reiterate, focus on the positive things going on in the world as well as in your life. You know, it's just sad to waste your precious lives worrying about things that we can't control. Instead, use your energy to do no harm and do right every day. Never give up your power, or never give up your power to the negative things in life. Because, and this is one of my favorite quotes, my dad told me this decades ago, nothing in the affairs of men is worth worrying about, especially when you consider that we never die. Life is much bigger than this world. Nothing in the affairs of men is worth worrying about. And if you think, well, yeah, well, they can kill you. Yeah, well, a lot of things can kill you, like an asteroid, an earthquake, a hurricane, tornado. Lots of things can kill us. The universe is indifferent. It doesn't care whether you live or die. But consciousness mitigates that indifference. And that is a profound and heavy thought worthy of further pondering. At any rate, nothing in the affairs of men is worth worrying about. Things pass. These things will all pass. Whatever's worrying you will pass. And you know what they say. You know, what is it? Mark Twain, you know, he's had a lot of things happen in his life that he worried about, and most of them never came to pass, something to that effect. And that's the thing about worry. You're basically using misuse of your imagination. You're borrowing trouble from tomorrow to worry about today. So just to summarize, yeah, there's stuff to worry about, but refuse to succumb to fear and worry. Just make a deliberate decision. I am not going to fear it. I'm not going to worry about it. We'll get through it one way or another. We always get through it. And that's one thing I've learned in my life. I had times in my life, in my past, where, you know, money was tight, didn't know how I was going to do this or do that, raising a son, you know, family, all this thing. How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to pay the car, whatever, the house bill? All that stuff happened. And I know you've experienced it too. But the one thing that I do know, I got past it. Now, I can't tell you exactly how I did it, you know, thinking back, but I did get past it, and you have, and you will. So I'll open it up to your thoughts, Michael and Vicki.
Well, you know, it's I think that if people want to be proactive, you start with little things at home and how you might grocery shop different. You know, or how you might start cooking at home instead of eating at the restaurants. You know, there's little things you can do that are proactive that improve your finances or improve your life. Be a little bit politically aware when you're going to vote, you know, and if there is a vote coming up, make sure that you assess it. You use your critical thinking. And don't listen to the garbage out there. But the one thing that'll turn me off is when they trash the other parties and trash other people. That kind of makes me a little bit mental. Because I just want to hear the facts. You know, who are you and what are you going to do? So it's, you know, it's little things you can do. I know that this year I have an outdoor storage area, and I'm going to put a styrofoam box out there with sand and stuff and fill it with potatoes and carrots that'll last me all year. Going to do some extra canning this year, which is another reason old people are good. We can teach you how to can foods, you know, prepare foods. How do you keep vegetables in a garden from freezing during the winter? I know a friend of mine just pulled the last of her carrots out of her garden, and it's winter. We have had a mild winter here, but it's all possible. There, you know, there's little things you can do, and I know it's very hard for people, you know, two people, working families, and it's easy to live out of a box. It's easier to, you know, because it's not so stressful on the nerves, but there's ways to save money. And that do help you even moderately to improve your life. So I think that getting started is right here at home, like right with yourself. And like you say, Jerry's correcting me, we're not old people, we're just older people. It is what it is, Jerry. So I think that it's not a matter of fear. It's a matter of staying moderately aware, knowing where we're at, and what can you do in your life to improve it. Mm-hmm. And as far as whether it's doing studies at IMHS and TFU, and as you've said, Dr. Kelly, don't let these things hold you back, because they can be quite paralyzing. You know, it's just stop that nonsense, and what is it that you had in your agenda today? And make sure that you hold to it. You're going to watch the news, you're going to watch the news. We'll try to moderate that. I know I started waking up in the morning, and I don't turn on a computer, TV, anything until I've had my coffee. I try to remember what I was dreaming. I kind of have a meditation, you know, and my cat comes and lays on my lap, and we have those moments where I made that decision a while back. I have to get back to what was life before computers. What was life? What would I do with my life without all these distractions? And I'll tell you, it does make a difference. It makes a difference in the mindset.
You know, I want to just take lead off of that, Michael, if you give me a moment. And, you know, there is such information overload these days. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's unbelievable. It's everywhere. It's in science. For example, quantum physics, you know, the mini world theory and all this stuff going on in quantum physics that, you know, the Big Bang wasn't the beginning and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it's like, wow, you know what? I used to be very interested in all this, still am. But it's like, you know what? You know, I had a landlord years ago. Nice guy. And we rented a house from him. And he lived not too far, a few blocks away. His yard was immaculate. I mean, he had and this is in Florida now, and his grass was green as an up north, you know, yard. Because, you know, grass in Florida's not very good. It's terrible. And his yard was immaculate because he spent all this time out there. And I'm thinking, man, how can you spend so much time doing that? I mean, there are things to do, man. There are things to accomplish, and on, you know. Now I get it. Of course, he was probably my age at the time. Yep. You know, and now I get it. And so it's like, you know what? I just want to do something in my yard. I have my 30-something year old golf cart I refurbished, and I take it around the neighborhood, and I pick up trash, and I do that several times a week. It's amazing how much trash there is, but it's not as much as it used to be because I pick it up all the time, you know. It's like apparently they think I'm their mommy, so they leave it. And so, you know, I pick it up, and at least I'm doing some good, and I talk to the neighbors, you know, I here and there, and they all thank me for doing it, and it's just something I enjoy, and it's at least paying it forward in a small way. You know, and then there are other people. I mean, we've helped neighbors. We've helped neighbor kids, bought them bikes and things like that, you know, to help people. I mow the yard for an elderly neighbor. She's got a 61 or 2-year-old son with cerebral palsy. She's like 88. She's 88 and taking care of him, and always has. And she can't do it all. She's got, can't hardly see and can't hardly hear. And anyway, she can't do everything. She was a very capable woman. I mean, she did it all. She refurbished things. She, you know, whatever needed to be done, she did it. She was, and she still wants to do that, but she's elderly now and can't do it. So I mow her yard and take her trash out for her every week. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that bring me some fulfillment. You know, it's like, yeah, all that information overload's cool, but it's like, man, I don't know what's up. All I know is that we're here for a reason, and there's got to be more to it than this. So, you know, now curving back around to the whole point here, there's a lot in life to be thankful for, to be happy about, be grateful for, you know, look for those things. Michael, do you have any points you wanted to make?
Oh, I reckon. you know, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking about, you know, these good works. And, you know, I know that they bring me happiness. I've happened, you know, people might not be aware. I actually know Dr. Doug Kelly very well here. I've known him for a while. but you know, we chat every now and again. And I know these things bring you happiness. And, you know, I figure, you know, it's about time. I think we share the true key to happiness, the one trick that everybody should know. And these things that you do bring you happiness, not because of the, you know, the fact that it's a good deed in and of itself, although that's nice. It's not the pats on the back, although that's nice too. It's the human connection. It is the connection that we make with other people in this world that bring us happiness. Study after study after study shows it is friends, it is keeping up social networks, by which I mean actual in-person, you know, friends and loved ones, and you've made these connections across the neighborhood, and that brings happiness. We are a human animal, and, you know, that is something that we can hold on to, our sense of community. And I will also just jump on the idea that, yeah, we have information overload. Now is the time, you know, not just for young people, but for people of all ages, kids of all ages like myself, to remember the importance of critical thinking and being able to separate out fact from fiction when you can. I think pretty much any 24-hour news network is just bad. It's garbage. I can tolerate some nightly news, although I don't prefer it. I like to read my news when I do, but that, you know, you have to take it, make a time. Don't consume it throughout the day, just like you were saying earlier. That's just a spell for misery. And why is that? It's because you're not seeing the full reality. You're seeing a snippet. You're seeing one little sliver of what existence is, because they don't talk about the fact that you have millions and billions of people that are living life and getting along and helping each other out. There are 8 billion of us on this planet. Can we say that 1 or 2, 4 or 5, how many are just going to work, doing right by each other, helping their families, helping their friends, living decent lives? You know, that's part of the full picture too. And I think it's also about expectations. When you build up expectations in your mind of what something is and it's not met, that brings unhappiness, you know? So manage your expectations in terms of keeping them realistic, stay grounded, manage your information intake, and have fun with life. You know, I've always said, in a lot of ways, life is absurd. Everything about this is absurd. So laugh at it. Yeah. You know, don't let it get to you so much. Laugh at it. It's I've long joked about this thing I call the brighter side of nihilism. And if you don't know, nihilism is this idea that nothing really means anything, nothing really matters, and everything is just blah, right? Well, what's the brighter side of nihilism? Well, if nothing really matters and nothing is, you know, really anything, then why don't I just focus on what makes me happy? You know, why don't I just focus on, you know, what I think is going to be best for my life and building positivity around me? You know, and then you kind of get to that point where nobody, there's no reason for any of this to exist. We make it exist. We bring order to the world because we're here. So enjoy it. Make it. You know, make it a good place. If you're bringing something into the world, make it a good thing. Sure, that's subjective, but frankly, you know, if what you're doing at the end of the day is lightening the load of somebody else, that's probably a good thing, you know. Don't always do for them what they can't do for themselves, but, you know, within reason.
Or you can just stay away from people.
Yeah, yeah, you can do that too. But then again, that comes right back to the key of happiness, isn't it?
Did you not hear that thing I said?
I mean, funny. If the key to happiness is maintaining social connections and maintaining friendships and, you know, getting out in the world and being a force for good, then that's kind of self-defeating too. But, you know, listen, there's always going to be things outside your control. You know, things can be tight. You know, money can be tight. Grocery bills are high. You know, me, I got a whole slew of dogs here, and I make some extra money by make them go out and get jobs. I make them go get service jobs, you know, lead the blind and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Now, they're not trained for it, so turnover is high. I lose a lot of customers real fast, but you just keep it going. But,
you know, there's a fun thing in the chat going on about eggs, and I had put in there that in baking, if you put 1 tablespoon of ground flax with a bit of water, and it soaks up. That's equivalent to an egg in any kind of baking. Wendy added that you can add applesauce in lieu of eggs as well. And if you do go and look up on recipes, you can look up vegan recipes. There's lots of ways to cut back on eggs. You know, there are lots of ways to cut back on things. I just had to throw that in for people in the archives who might be listening. If you ever get a chance to join us on a program, we've got lots of folks in the chat, and there's lots of things going on. Can't possibly get through it.
But
I'm so glad that you came on tonight, Dr. Kelly. Everybody has missed you. Well, they've asked about you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate being on and seeing everybody, so to speak, and I appreciate everybody coming on and listening to me. And I'm going to try to come on the first Wednesday of each month with a topic and deal with it. So anyway, thanks to everybody. I hope that some of my comments have been helpful and encouraging. Just, we're fine. You're fine. I'm fine. We're all going to be fine. Just make that happen and be happy. So with that, thank you for the time for everyone, and I'll look forward to talking again in a month or so.
Good night. That's awesome. Thanks for being here, Dr.
It's been our pleasure. So
thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, Michael, I think we do have time for a few cards.
I reckon
we
do.
But if some folks want to put their name in the chat, we're going to draw some cards tonight.
Absolutely.
But it's been really good to have Dr. Doug Kelly here.
It is.
We haven't heard from him quite a while, and
you know, he's going places. He's going places, I tell you. And you know, we're going to give some time for people to catch up in the chat and put their names in. And chat is going fast, so you know, please keep us honest too. I just want to do a little bookkeeping here. Next week, we are going to be privileged to have Dr. Rick Telesca joining us again. I know we love those conversations. We love everybody's conversations. Had a great one with Dr. Mike. We had Wendy on not too long ago. That was fantastic. Dr. Zach we had on last year. That was fantastic. You know, I love those things. And these connections that we get in this group, this, you know, community of the curious, these are those social connections that bring us happiness. I know it brings me happiness. There have been days where I start out on a Wednesday evening and I am depleted. I don't have anything in the gas tank. You and I get talking. We get into a topic. I feel alive at the end of it. So just my 2 cents on that. But Dr. Rick's going to join us next week. And we're going to be talking AI. We're going to be talking AI and how it may impact human health, human longevity. How's that going to change society? What's that going to be like? So looking forward to those discussions.
All right, now we got names coming up. And look, folks, because it is the time it is, if we don't get to everybody, apologize.
Yeah, I can already tell you we're not going to have time for Audra. But
all right, we got Jerry first. Let's go.
All right. So, Jerry, you get number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy, and answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented? Good one.
Well, as you're reinventing, there's a moon energy about for you, Jerry. I always say expect the unexpected with the moon. There's a mystery, so there's a hidden energy at work. So keep going as you keep reinventing and having new ideas, because there's some things lining up for you. So I'd say that's a bit of encouragement. Mm-hmm. That's what I say. So we have Jackie up next, Michael.
Good thing you're keeping track of these. All right, Jackie, got number 41 for you, communication. All right. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, it's empathetic, and it focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, are the two most important relationship traits.
Well, with the Two of Diamonds, it's a balancing act. So sometimes we have to know when to speak, when not to speak, when to listen, when not to. And Jackie, this is just a reminder of how we're communicating and making sure that there is a balance in it. And I'm inclined to say don't throw away good energy if it's not going anywhere. Because some conversations are just for the sake of conversing, not really going anywhere. Some people are argumentative because they like to be. Some people are antagonistic because they like to be.
Awesome.
So don't engage in that. That's what I want to say to you. Make sure it's balanced. Okay, we have Dr. Jeff next.
All right. I'm going to start speed reading through these like I'm giving the fine print at the end of a radio ad here. All right, Dr. Jeff, you get number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover, and adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Well, I got the Ten of Diamonds here. So that Ten of Pentacles, Jeff, is especially when it comes to finances and investing. And I'm inclined to say with groundedness is go slow, a little at a time until you get the returns. And then just reinvest the returns, not too much initially. So in whatever that is, I hope it makes sense. So groundedness and the Ten of Diamonds in the marketplace, that's just be sensible. And I'm sure you are. It's just, one step at a time.
All right.
Well, we have Donna next, Michael.
Donna, you get a fun one. We have wild card number 9, blank. Drawing this card puts you... I know. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. And it's all that you desire it to be. Remember, the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, but in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Well, the 8 of Clubs in support of that is it's quick action when you need to be. So it's just kind of stay awake. Whatever it is that you're wanting to manifest, certainly you project for that. But watch for the little doors and windows that open because, again, it can be too hasty. It's the thing about the 8 of Clubs, but it really is one of quick action. So something comes your way, it's like you might have to act quickly or make sure you don't procrastinate too much and then you miss the boat. So it's kind of stay awake there, Donna. You got some things going on that I think are pretty good.
All right.
So, and just for those who are new and in the archives, self-discovery cards that Michael chooses from Dr. Douglas Kelly's inventions, and mm-hmm. mostly off the study material, and I pick a tarot as a backup. So mm-hmm. We have Stephen next. Welcome, Stephen.
Absolutely. And just going to throw this out here for anybody that is new listening. We also have our card keeper, Wendy, looking for patterns in the chat, seeing how many times mm-hmm. people have gotten this card. And we're at a new year, but we're still seeing a lot of new cards tonight. So, Stephen, for you, I have number 8, Balance and Order. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. Good one.
Well, Stephen, I think you've got a lot of good turn of events coming up here. The 5 of Spades to me is always that little victory after stress. So if you've been feeling some stress or a few complications in your life or things weren't in balance and order. I think that some energies are occurring where it's being restored. So you got a reprieve here, and I think some improvements in your overall life where it's going to feel a little bit more organized and say, whew, I'm glad that's over, kind of thing. So enjoy it while it's there. Absolutely.
Good stuff.
We have Dr. Edward next. All right,
Dr. Edward, I have for you number 38. A lot of 30s. Number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Good card.
Well, I got temperance to support that, Edward. Sometimes when we're meditating or very quiet is when we get our best ideas. It's like when you empty your mind and you're chilling out, or let's say you're just occupied doing dishes or cooking, or, you know, things that are kind of automatic. That's a form of meditation also. So being open-minded is when you least expect, because knowledge is like water. Temperance is that flow of energy. So I think some new understandings, new revelations, realizations are coming to you of things you can do rather than what you can't do. And I think that's a really good affirmation coming your way. Something good. It's really cool.
Good stuff.
Kevin. We have Kevin next.
All right, Kevin, you get number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Got the Page of Diamonds. So that Page of Diamonds, Page of Pentacles, it's a communicator. It's also with deliberate intent. Something that you're doing is paying off. In other words, there's a bit of, I would say there's a bit of money coming your way, an improvement in finances, or talking about money that brings you an improvement of finances. So I think you're doing, what this is saying is you're making all the right steps, Kevin. You're doing all the right things. And even if it doesn't pay off today, it certainly will tomorrow or the day after, the day after. So I want to say again to you, keep going.
All right. All right.
Now, are you sure you want to do Audra?
Well,
sure?
I know, listen, guys, I know we all got together and we said, hey, let's just stop pulling cards for Audra. But you know what? I don't care. I'm going to pull one anyway. Audra, I'm pulling you a card. For you, I have number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness.
I got the Sun. And for those who don't know, we have fun with Audra. There's a history here.
Wow, yeah.
And we tease her. We love Audra.
In all fairness, I try to tease each and every person I can, you know, within reason.
Yeah.
So
I know. So self-mastery in the Sun, Audra. Oh, like the universe is opening. There's she just said, phew, that was a close one. Funny. So self-mastery in the Sun, my point to you is new life, breathing new life. My sense of this is self-comfort. In other words, that self-certainty. And confidence doesn't fit, because confidence is something that's put out to the world and isn't necessarily true. But self-certainty comes from feeling grounded and in your body and knowing who you are. And from that, you assert a confidence. But that's what I'm sensing here for you, Audra, is coming into a new sense of self that you have been growing into and a greater comfort with that. So that's a great affirmation. So, Kevin, thanks for the feedback, everybody. Kevin has said, Dr. Kelly's talk was very comforting in view of the fact that he's had to make some adjustments under President Musk, and these cards fit perfectly. I'm going to add to that, if I may, without getting too political. Sometimes what we like to focus on in the world is the decisions we make that seem to go our way and that are right.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are decisions that we make that we say, oh, I think we screwed up. And everything is a result of what we put into it. And that's the law of cause and effect,
mm-hmm.
action, reaction. So part of what I say to myself is this is the karma. This is the lesson being learned. And not everybody asked for that lesson, but in the collective consciousness, we all needed that lesson. And for all of the reasons that we've talked about tonight and that Dr. Kelly talked about,
mm-hmm.
is learning to be more unified, more collective, more of a collective, what are our priorities, and being more humanitarian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what especially we as metaphysicians want to do. So sometimes the lessons are learned really hard, like they're hard, really hard lessons.
Yeah.
And it means some of us, like as Kevin is saying, we have to make some adjustments. And as Dr. Rick said earlier, you know, some of the greatest inventions come as a result of certain challenges. I'm paraphrasing what he said.
This is true.
In the chat. So as much as things are stressful,
mm-hmm.
If you see it from a macro, mm-hmm. rather than taking it personal in the micro, it's a lesson for the planet. It's a lesson for individuals and their collectives and mm-hmm. the planet.
Absolutely.
And what are we going to take from this lesson? So Dr. Rick has added, everything's a matter of perspective. As someone who worked for the federal government for many years, for good or bad, we need a good dose of common sense and pragmatism. And thanks for that. That's mm-hmm. very true. And not to take this personally.
Well, that's
and
true.
Again, fear, fear and confusion. Boy, Dr. Kelly nailed it tonight. You know, it's if we can just stay clear and see the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lesson for all of us. We all make mistakes. This happened to be a bigger mistake than, you know.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter anymore. Done is done. And what's happening is what's happening. And it's about what are we going to do about it in our daily lives and how we want to affect the world
mm-hmm.
in our own way. So that was just my two cents. My two cents of it. So.
You know, some great points in chat. One thing I will say, I don't believe in common sense. And that sounds both funny because I will do some very stupid things from time to time, but also common sense differs from person to person to person to person to person is not very common. But that being said, yeah, I know. But that being said, I agree. I mean, you just got to get out there and do what you feel is best. What is pragmatic and things like that? I completely agree with that. Another thing I will point out, Dr. Mike said he thought that improvements in science came from Star Trek. Absolutely, because of inspiration. And fiction is what inspires the real world, so keep that in mind. Lastly, the last point that I'm going to leave us with tonight is be a humanitarian. I say also be a dogitarian. You know, the pure joy that dogs just espouse, they exude it. You know, I have a foster dog that I've had for a few months now, and you know he was a wild dog. You know, he very very likely, we don't know for sure and we can't know, but he was very likely dumped out in the woods as a puppy. You know, they didn't find a home for him. They didn't want to keep him in the house. They dumped him. And we know what happens. It's very sad. He made it, you know, he survived. He survived long enough to, you know, for probably a couple, 3 months. Then he got picked up by animal control for wandering around. Somebody found him. He was in the shelter for 2 months. Wasn't taken care of either because he wasn't walked. He wasn't socialized. Wasn't anything. He lived in a small concrete box for 2 months, you know. And then because of the incompetence of that animal control department, they shut the department down. And then, you know, a very kind-hearted person found homes for fosters for all the animals in there to avoid the worst, and he was one of them. He was the last out. He came to me. He was wild. He'd never lived in a home before. And, you know, but he immediately exuded joy and appreciation, and he soaked in everything. You know, when he met me, when he met the other dogs, he was just joy personified. You just could just feel the joy just rolling off of him. He appreciates every little thing. He appreciates all of it. And that is an important lesson for me, because I want to think that I'm a big old smarty pants, and I think that I have things figured out. But this dog has things better figured out than I do, and that was an important lesson for me, so I will leave you with that. But, you know, thank you, everybody. This has been a great discussion. Please join us next week. We have Dr. Rick coming on. Have another great discussion on AI and how it's going to affect human health and what our future is going to be with that. A little bit of, you know, thought experiment there. And, you know, I've said my piece. Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
Don't let them push you around out there, folks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's all.
You got it. Well, with that, can't wait to see everybody next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.